When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of ARN. This is Paul Bromwell, and today, as always, without fail, I'm joined by the Hall of Famer, the founder of the Four Horsemen, the creator of that spine buster. He's your television champion. He's the enforcer. He's Double A. He's my friend. Arn, how are you, man?
I'm staring out my window at about 70 degrees, and the sky is blue as it can get. And these days, that's enough. So I'm good.
Weather is turning nicer. This might be the last time I record with you in one of these hoodies. It hit 60 something up here in PA as we record this, and I'm excited. It's, hey, listen, we experienced daylight savings time and all the hell that goes with that, but I like it being a little bit sunnier outside, don't you?
No, I don't like it being dark at 5:30.
Me neither. I'm with you.
I'm a big fan of fall and spring.
Yeah, well, spring is upon us, but man, it's so good to see you this week. By the way, let's just get it out of the way right up front. Cedar Rapids, the home of the oatmeal, okay, facility. Can I tell you, Arn, how many people have DM'd me or messaged me to make sure that I knew that it definitely was Cedar Rapids?
Well, I'm sure that's a big point of contention for the people that live in that. It smells good. It's not like it's some kind of plant or, you know,
right,
something that just stinks. It's a distinct, smells like a big bowl of oatmeal right underneath your nose.
It's the General Mills. They got hundreds of people employed there. And it is Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And like you said, Sioux City, Iowa, on the other hand, smells like a contaminated Missouri River. But man, I had guys from truck drivers that have driven through there to people that have vacationed and traveled through there to people that live there wanting to make sure that we were aware you were spot on when you said, I think that's where they do the oatmeal, Paul, the cereal. And you nailed it.
Funny, we really excel in the conversations about food.
That sniffer knows where it's been, Daddy.
We've moved on from cheese to oatmeal.
Oh man. Hey, okay, so that one, we had to get that out of the way, guys. Cedar Rapids, that's right, home of the oatmeal, General Mills. But as this show drops, Arn, let's talk about what you're up to. You and Brock, you're at Galaxy Con, and you said it last time we talked, actors, wrestlers, movie stars, animators, comic book creators, they're all going to be there that weekend, and you'll be there with book in hand, won't you, my friend?
Brother, you know I will. Because this was a pain in the ass to make happen. But it is there. And Richmond is horseman country, four star. And Brock and I have never did a signing there. I love, you know, how I am about firsts. That's a first. It's going to be loaded with talent. I mean, just three full days of just saying thank you to all the Richmond folks and everybody that's going to drive there from wherever else.
You get to say hi, shake their hand, sign their book or whatever they have, action figure, whatever the case may be, picture. Arn is there, loves to meet all of you. So that's going to be a big one. That's happening this weekend as this drops. Arn, before we get things going this week, I want to talk about the importance of security and the peace of mind that comes with it in today's world. Data brokers sell our information to scammers, spammers, and anyone else who may want to target us. I'm talking our full names, our emails, home addresses, health records, our relatives' information. It's all out there on the World Wide Web. That's why you and I both have started using Aura, the sponsor of today's video. Aura shows us which data brokers are selling our information and automatically submits opt-out requests for us. Arn, once I installed the Aura app, I realized there were 17 data brokers out there selling my information. Can you believe that?
You know, in this day and age, everything is internet, and it's never been more important to protect your stuff. I mean, I hate thieves. We all hate thieves, and there are people that just prey on any situation that pops up. And, man, it's just good to have some peace of mind. You work hard for your money. Everybody that's out there that works hard for their money, one thing we got to do is protect it.
No doubt about it, Arn. And cleaning up our information not only helps reduce the amount of spam that we're getting, but it protects us from hackers who could use this information to help them access our social media accounts, our bank accounts, and other sensitive information. And they do so much more to protect us and our families from online threats that we can't even see. That's the scary part. They have features like antivirus, VPN, password management, parental controls, identify theft insurance, and more without having to download several different apps, which I love. It's really easy to set up, and best of all, we get everything at one affordable price. You may already have one or two of these tools, but not having Aura is like locking the front door and leaving that back door wide open. Aura is always on, doing the hard work of keeping us safe so we can focus on other tasks with, as Arn said, peace of mind. We value our privacy, and you should value yours too. You can go to https://aura.com. And here's the key. You put another /in and Arn. That's the full length. aura.com/Arn to start your 2-week free trial. That's aura.com/Arn. aura.com/Arn. And start that 2-week free trial today. And tell them that Arn Anderson, the enforcer, sent you. And then the next week, Arn, you and Brock are going to West Davidson High School at Lexington, North Carolina. It's another AML show. You said they've been good to you almost every single month. Brock's getting work down there. And most recently, Brock took on John Schuyler down there in a return match. And here you are. Like you said, you're becoming regulars for AML.
Well, yeah, it's what he needs. It's reps. And they have been good to us, and that's in Lexington, North Carolina, and that's on the 23rd. And you know what? We're going to drive back home, get a little sleep, and this never happens very often. The 24th, we're going to be at a Comic-Con in Charlotte.
I can't keep up with you.
Ain't that something? It's actually here in Charlotte. So it's Heroes is what it's called. So that's... Hey, how sweet is that? And then we move on.
That, I know you got the next weekend booked too, don't you?
Well, yeah. Hey, Friday, Saturday. This is a monster event we've heard a lot about for the last couple of years. It just didn't work out, which is the Squared Circle event in Indianapolis. It's a huge wrestling event. They got a ton of talent there. And, it's going to be thousands of folks come through there, and that's 29th and 30th of March. So we're, you know, towards the end of the month, things are really picking up for us.
It's the Anderson Spring Spectacular.
See what I did there?
I do. So catch it while you can. Be there, as they used Freddie to say. Miller. But yeah, yeah. So good times, man. You guys are on the road. You're getting lots of appearances. I know you love it for Brock too, especially when he gets to wrestle, getting those reps in. But it's also, like you said, a chance for the fans to get to see you, and you to get to see and meet your fans and get those books, get those, these Arn Anderson, My Life is the Enforcer comics. So make sure you take advantage of it. And you're not done. I mean, April 4th through 7th. Oh, yeah, we'll get there. But April 4th through 7th, you're in attendance for WrestleCon weekend in the Philly area,
which is going to be huge.
And, not only are you going to have the books, Arn, what did you just show me on camera that you're going to have with you?
You're my liaison on these. It took a little longer this time, but these hats for all you hat wearers out there in baseball season, you know, the work is excellent. The one looks good on your head, Paul. This is a little bigger for my big melon. I like the white one, but I'll have plenty of these for anybody that would care for one.
What do you say to those that may say the horsemen don't wear white hats?
That's the swerve. We're not nice guys. I've never ever said I'm going to do this because it's the right thing to do. You'll never hear me say that. I'm going to do what is going to benefit me and my career at the time. And if you're one of those guys that get run over because you somehow think that I have mellowed out, boy, naughty, naughty, naughty you. I'm an ornery old son of a bitch.
Wearing his black hat or his white hat.
So I will wear a white hat just because it houses this melon of mine a little better than the black one.
Oh, man. So
yeah, that's the only reason.
Yeah. He loves that white hat. Just likes the way it fits. So at this stage in the life, the horsemen do wear white hats. And you can get yours too, Arn. I know you got a dozen of them. Those are the hottest sellers, it seems like, the white ones.
Yeah, just, you know, my fans are older, full-grown ass men, and their heads are just a little bit bigger.
And, it'll fit you basketball size head guys, I'm telling
yes,
you.
Yes, yes, for sure.
Yeah. Check it out. They got the coats over there, the jackets, T-shirts. It's back to T-shirt season. I see you wearing your T-shirt. So Box of Gimmicks, not only do you get the Arn store, but the Horseman store. And man, I tell you what, we have some great supporters that are supporting you through the merch every single week. So we appreciate all that. Arn, with all that out of the way, let's get into the show, man, because we have a broad audience that's here to hear and listen to the walk through your career. And we want to return to our August 1994, as I mentioned, real quick. You did talk about what was going on there with the oatmeal factory. But with and all that going on, I also want to spend a little bit of time in setting up what would then be October 1994. We discussed last week during our September show, Hogan and Flair are set up in a career-threatening world title match. Remember that? Inside a cage, Mr. T is a special guest referee. Hogan's 90 days into his WCW run, and they're already into a career-threatening match against Flair for the world title. I mean, isn't that a little quick to be moving into that kind of an
angle? There's a term for that. Hot shotting.
Yes. Elaborate on that.
Well, and once you hot shot something, I mean, careers are on the line already. Guys just settled in. You know, he's just settling in. It's hard to double back now. Okay, a month later, let's have a wrestling match. Well, the stipulation is somebody wins and somebody loses, and momentum is what you gain from that. But once you skip ahead to hotshotting, man, it's hard to double back. And instead of building, if you go, you can only go.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
It does. There is, and we're going to get to this at the end. Flair loses, ends up, you know, career ending, as they say in wrestling. We all know that wasn't the case. But we'll get into that a little bit. So maybe this is a way for them just to build an out for Flair. The goal was to have him sit out for a year. He ends up sitting out for 3 months. But still, do you think it needs to be career versus career to do this?
Yeah, why is it just one guy's career? I mean, just you saying that makes it feel better. One of us has got to go.
Yeah.
You know, it feels like to me if that stipulation only applies to one person, then you're going to do an end around swerve job somehow to get out of it, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's talk about the event itself, because there's some window dressing. As I mentioned, Mr. T, he's a special referee, and they announced this during the press conference. And as we see the build to the event, the fans see a promo package of Flair and Mr. T. They're having lunch outside with the intent of planting seeds that Mr. T is in Flair's pocket. And of course, Flair and Sherry did everything they could to make sure the audience, you know, thought that the fix is in. But Arn, I want to talk about this a little bit, because Hulk and Mr. T, they go back to the main event all the way of the very first WrestleMania. I mean, do you think it's an uphill battle getting this audience to buy in with this storyline that T's in Flair's pocket, or no? Do you see some how this could work?
I think it's probably a waste of time. Because let's face it, sitting there having lunch and all that or whatever the deal was, that's kind of beating them over the head with, okay, here's what we're doing. Here's right. what we're doing.
Why make it so evident? This isn't.
Wouldn't you like to just somehow maybe be, I don't know, be at the front of the Marriott, but from a long, long distance, and whoever's shooting it, say he's got his family there and he's taking pictures, and he goes, well, that's Ric Flair. Well, that's Mr. T. And you pan around and you just see a brief 5-second conversation. Car pulls up. Mr. T gets in. He splits. Now, this is Monday Morning Quarterback, and we've admitted we do this shit all the time.
Yeah.
But looking back on it, the less you talk about it, okay, you saw something you wasn't supposed to see, and you just leave it there, the more I feel like maybe something's going to happen.
The word I keep thinking of as you were explaining is discreet. Be a little bit so discreet and less blunt and in your face about this.
Oh, yeah.
We're not 6-year-olds watching a cartoon. I mean, it's, you know, give us a little bit of some respect. Give us a little bit of credit. We've watched wrestling before. You don't have to be so out there. Now to the common person listening to this podcast could see a mile away, oh, they're just setting up a heel turn. It's just so evident.
Yeah, it's just funny how, you know, the harder you try to hard sell it, the less I believe it.
Wow, you nailed it. So leading up to the Halloween Havoc event, WCW house shows, they want to intensify the issues for the pay-per-view, Arn, at this time. And one of the house shows that stands out in my mind took place in Salt Lake City, Utah, and it was October the 14th. It takes place at the Delta Center, Arn, with 4,300 people in attendance. And on the card, Dustin and the Nasty Boys defeated you, Bunkhouse Bunk, and Terry Funk in a 6-man tag match thanks to some disqualification due to outside interference. But, Arn, here's the thing. This will be the first of 3 matches that take place out west. The other 2 are in California. And at this time, WCW wasn't necessarily traveling far from home. So do you think it was, hey, we have Hogan now, let's test the waters, let's test out the market. Hogan's in the driver's seat, business is looking up, and let's take off the handcuffs and try out, you know, some non-traditional markets for WCW?
Those were WWF towns, and I guess whatever house you had was there because of Hogan. He drew the house. You know, without him, you could have probably cut that 4,000 down to 2, because that was not our towns. East Coast.
And you can see the shift here, too, because for a while, WCW had been minimizing much of the travel due to cost cutting. But now here comes Hogan. They see that big buy rate a couple pay-per-views ago. And it looks like they're off to the races, trying to do a little bit more traveling, going out west. And so there you go. The Hogan effect, I guess we'll call it.
Well said. Yeah, I guess so. It just, you could have killed 2 birds with 1 stone if you had stayed on the East Coast, though. There's plenty of cities you could have ran other than flying guys all the way out to the West Coast.
Yeah. 3 total matches out there. The other thing that sticks out most about this event is that Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan wrestled for the world title. And they all ended in DQ when the Masked Man would come out and attack Hogan. Karl Malone, the hometown hero of this show that we were talking about in Utah, and for those that don't remember, Utah Jazz, big-time all-star player. I mean, come on. He was involved in wrestling, and he'd take that step toward bringing WCW into the mainstream with the use of celebrities, especially in 1998 with the tag match with DDP. But talk to us about the mailman. Do you remember meeting him or any stories that you can share about Carl?
Just a big, big fan and a nice guy. Really was just a legitimate, nice guy, knew who everybody was, watched the product, wrestling fan, appreciated the athleticism that the guys, you know, it's like in our business, we're all marks for football players and basketball players and me, even baseball players, because they all do something I can't do. I think it's, if you look at, you know, those guys, they look at wrestlers and, you know, once they get a taste of it, they go, okay, it's a lot harder than what I thought. Or maybe they didn't know it was hard, you know, and just from a distance, that's why you got their respect. They could tell without ever stepping through the ropes, hey, man, those guys are tremendous athletes.
Yeah. Yeah. This is, they probably have, like you said, a lot more respect for the business having tried it themselves. And you hear that all the time from these actors and athletes and guys that, you know, wanted to dip their toe or huge fans, but then trying it for themselves, they realize, hey, this is the real deal here.
Well, it's like earlier, you know, when we were talking to Amy on her phone call, she was talking about her experience of hitting the ropes and, how bad it hurt. And I told her my story a few weeks ago. I was trying to show a class at Lodi School how to hit the ropes properly. And I might have hit them 8 or 10 times. Man, next day my back was absolutely sore. It's like I'd been hit with a baseball bat. This is not easy. It, definitely not easy. Hmm.
Halloween Havoc takes place. Here we are at the event, Arn. It's Joe Louis Arena, October 23rd, 1994. 14,000 fans attended the event. So, again, fans Where's are coming this? Out, man. This is Joe Louis Arena in Detroit.
14,000.
8,500 paid. So. Yeah. That's not a bad, still, that's a big audience. And as noted by our friend Richard Land over at the History of the WWE, 3,000 tickets they gave away, but these fans did not show up for the event. So that's kind of a little crazy trivia fact for that event. But this is the fifth installment. This is what I want to talk about of Halloween Havoc. And Bischoff, Eric, always claims that Halloween Havoc was the event in WCW, not Starrcade. Starrcade is the very first pay-per-view that Jim Crockett put on under the umbrella NWA. What do you think? Which event to you, Arn, was the event in your mind? Was it Great American Bash, Starrcade, Halloween Havoc?
What is that based on? What did Eric say he was basing that on? Just attendance?
Attendance, build, storyline, the excitement.
Buys. It was pay-per-view, right?
Absolutely, as a businessman that he is, I don't have the buy information for the show, but he felt like that was their big show.
Well, I know that a lot of, you know, window dressing, they tried to put around it, you know, jazz it up and make it like a Halloween theme. I guess they're basing it on just numbers, you know.
In your mind, what was always the biggest event to you? If I were just to ask you as a wrestler and a fan of the business back in those days, would it be Starrcade?
Probably.
Like a primary show? I would think so. Because of the history of it, too.
What month was that show always? Starrcade?
December. It was November in the beginning years, around Thanksgiving, and then it would be pushed back into December as the years went on.
Originally, Thanksgiving was a huge day, a huge day. With Crockett, I know that it was one of the biggest days, if not the biggest day of revenue for the year. And you would always, you know, say, okay, we got to eat that turkey on a different day because I'm working, but that's going to pay a lot of bills because, you know, people would have their meal. You would have a big city. That night, a night show, and they would go, okay, we're stuffed. Let's take a little nap and just go down and watch wrestling. And it was very, very successful. The whole time I've been in the business, Thanksgiving was a big day for revenue.
Arn, we have to talk about Factor this week. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. You and I received our Factor meals recently, and they were delicious. Huge fan of Factor. The Enforcer and I have really been enjoying the meals. They're so easy to prepare, ready to go in just 2 minutes, and better yet, they feel like they came right out of a chef's kitchen. They're dietitian approved. You have over 35 different options to choose from every week. And they have all the diet plans you can think of. I'm talking calorie smart. Maybe you're looking for more protein. They have that protein plus menu. And my personal favorite, keto. And there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long. What are you waiting for? It's time to get started today. It's time to get ready for that summer bod, if you know what I mean. And as I said, convenience, two-minute meals, restaurant quality meals in 2 minutes or less, pancakes, smoothies, and more. No prep, no mess, ready to heat and eat, and flexible to your schedule. And I love that as well. We are on the run. Arn, you're headed to signings and shows left and right. They're just easy to pop in and prepare. It's the perfect solution if you're looking for fast premium options with no cooking required. So listen, we've done the math. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal, like I said, is dietitian approved. Head to factormeals.com/ARN50 and use code ARN50 to get 50% off. That's ARN50, all one word. That's the code you want to use. Factormeals.com/ARN50 to get 50% off and tell them the Enforcer sent you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And I think, too, it would be interesting if you were to poll wrestling fans, and it would all be based on when they were born and, you know, the age they were when they became a fan. Because, again, for us in the older generation, Starrcade and Great American Bash, okay? Those were the two. When Bash, you know, Bash 85, 86, all that type of thing was going on in War Games, loved them. And then Halloween Havoc would come along in the late 80s. And that was a fun show. But, you know, you start to get to the kids that were born more around that generation, then they remember Halloween Havoc, you know, then that might be one of their favorite. And so I think it's also a generational, you know, opinion and question and answer too there. Let's talk about the card itself. Honky Tonk Man kicks off the opening event in a television title match with him and Johnny B. Bad. Bad retains the title. It's a time limit draw. And these are two men that we haven't spent a great deal talking about, Arn. But most of our listeners know that Dusty was huge on Johnny B. Bad. And he famously said he was going to make $1 million with Johnny B. Bad. And Bad came in when WCW was still largely that wrestling-centric company. But seemingly he fit in very well. And it was led by Hogan and Bischoff and their vision of pro wrestling. What did you think of Johnny B. Bad? His character, his ring work, overall Mark Marrow portraying that character?
Well, I mean, he looked like Little Richard, but with an athletic physique, tanned. I mean, you know, I am about the tan thing. Handsome guy, good body, good athlete. You know, all those things. It just, I couldn't get around. This was just me.
Yep.
The pop gun.
Shooting off the confetti gun into the audience.
It's somehow, after looking at this guy, athletically handsome guy, the whole deal, and then you, boom, I never could see that adding to his gimmick. I felt it took away, but I got a feeling he came up with all that. So it's his cross to bear, you know.
So be it.
But the guy definitely looked the part. And, you know, then you find out, okay, he's a legitimate boxer.
Yeah.
He was like Golden Gloves champion or something, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
So he'll knock your head off too, you know, and you figure, well, I never saw that coming. So he's legitimately probably a badass if you tried him, I would imagine.
Sure. And let's talk about his dance partner a little bit here in this one, Honky Tonk Man. Honky never short on opinions these days. Anything you can share about Honky, his work, character, anything you might want to can think about when I talk about Honky Tonk Man?
I would just say that that's probably not the best chemistry.
Yeah.
And leave
between
it,
those
leave
two
it
working.
That, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, Honky was pure entertainment, a lot of Memphis slant on his work. Johnny B. Badd was where they were trying to go at that time. So just different chemistry, maybe not the best.
Our first fan question this week comes from Adam Krasnoff, our buddy. He says, Halloween Havoc 1994 was the sixth consecutive pay-per-view where Johnny B. Badd opened the show. In your opinion, what made Mark Mera the consummate show starter back in these days?
I would have never dreamed that.
Can you? Yeah, good. I love this trivia from you, Adam.
Six
consecutive pay-per-view opening matches for Johnny B. Badd at this point. Maybe they liked his energy, Arn, the way that he came out and got the crowd going to start off a card.
Could be.
I hope
that's it. I hope it's not that, hey, we're three pay-per-views in. We need to start moving this guy up to the middle. And see how the fans handle it, see how he handles it.
If you had six opening straight pay-per-view matches, how would have you interpreted it?
It depends on if they gave me a good, worthy opponent that was probably be favored to beat me, and I kept healing my way to a victory. Now that puts a little more emphasis on that number one spot.
Yeah.
You know, it depends on finish-wise what you gained.
At this event, he is the TV champion, so he is carrying a championship. And I think maybe, too, they just liked him as the energy opening up a card. But it is interesting when you think six consecutive. So let's talk about you and Dustin wrestling in a grudge match to blow off the issue that started when you turned on Dustin at Bash at the Beach. This one, Arn, would you go just under 10 minutes? Dustin pins you with a quick roll-up after Randy Pee-wee Anderson, your longtime buddy, caught you trying to cheat with your feet on the ropes for extra leverage. After the match, you hit Dustin with a DDT and looked to beat Dustin down until the referees break it up. And, you know, here they come, Colonel Parker and Ming to the rescue. But this is effectively on the end of the issue with you and Dustin. This is the blow off. So what do you think about how that story was told? I mean,
why would I beat him down if we're done? He should have won. He got out of there and let me stomp around and bitch.
Right. And then he would have gotten the rub and moved on.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't make any sense if that was the end of our angle. It's not like I had to have something on the end. I mean, I was established. Let him get a big win. I would rather him won with his finish.
Yep. And
stay down selling while he had his moment and let him have his glory and parade around the ring with his Duke up. Just let me sell.
Drew Landry has a question. He says, where does this match with you and Dustin rank in your mind all time? Looks like it was almost a night off working with him.
Probably. I mean, it's just, I guess, since the finding out what was after that, it was just a placeholder. It was just, it was a half-ass effort to get a guy
looking wise.
He should have won with his finish in the same 10 minutes, and that's it.
He also said, Arn, would you have liked to have done a Three Stages of Hell match with Dustin during this time? As a reminder, a Three Stages of Hell match is 2 out of 3 falls match, with each match having that different stipulation. So you could have a wrestling match the first fall, a cage match the second fall, and a street fight or submission or last man standing. Would you have enjoyed doing a Three Stages of Hell match with Dustin?
something like that would have had to have been the main event. And that was probably not positioned to be the main event. So, yeah, probably that wouldn't have worked, I don't think. Too much emphasis on gimmicks for a match that didn't have a lot of steam on it.
Especially if they were already ready to just move on from the feud.
Waste of time. Save that for a main event, then build to it.
Let's talk about the main event of the evening. It's Hogan. It's Flair. We talked about it to kick off the show. Careers on the line. They're inside the cage. Mr. T's the referee. Hogan is escorted to the ring by Jimmy Hart and Brother Brutai, while Ric Flair was seconded by Sensuous Sherry. And the match arm goes 19 minutes, 26 seconds. At around the 15-minute mark of the match, Sherry tries to climb that cage and interfere in the match. Sting tried to stop her. He was attacked by the masked man with a pipe. Sherry then climbed the cage, helped Flair handcuff Mr. T to the cage. And in typical Hulk fashion, he overcomes all the odds, successfully fighting off Flair and Sherry, winning the match with the big boot and the leg drop. And Hogan retains the world title, and Flair's career at this point is seemingly over. And I want to read to you what Dave Meltzer had to say. He said, from most accounts, the decision to retire Flair by WCW was done more for reasons of there being enormous pressure on the company to produce a huge buy rate on Sunday as a last-ditch effort to attempt to make the year-end bottom line. Starcade revenue, since pay-per-view revenue comes well after the event, wouldn't come to the company this year. So really, if you think about it, Havoc was the last big event that they could draw to have that money hit the bottom line for 94. But look better after all the additional money spent this year and signing largely Hogan and additional publicity. Whatever ego and booking reasons were involved are said to be legit, but secondary to simply the company being desperate for a huge buy rate to justify Hogan's deal. And with a few weeks to go before the showtime, someone came up with the career versus career idea, which caused them to alter existing plans for the rest of the year and end the career of Ric Flair. So, Arn, listen, you're close with Flair back in these days. Can you tell us about any conversation that you remember with Flair regarding this whole decision to kind of write him off TV, as their goal is simply to make money? That's what it comes off to with Dave Meltzer talking about. They wanted a big draw. Their goal was to do it by career versus career here at Halloween Havoc. And they had just signed Hogan this year, so they want to end the year on a high note with the buy rate. Did Flair ever have a conversation that you can recall about this whole situation?
You know, if I'm Rick, what I'm thinking, 3 months, 6 months, however long they're going to leave him off with pay, I'm going to go get on my boat and get out on the lake and enjoy this time off at about 700 grand, probably, or 750 a clip, whatever he was making at that time.
Yeah.
He certainly was not going, no, you can't leave me off. You can't leave me off.
So here, I'll continue to say what Meltzer shared. Flair is insisting that even though this decision was against his wishes, he's not going to be one of these wrestlers who keeps making comebacks, and that Sunday really is going to be his final appearance and to expect a classic match in his finale. For years, Flair has said that he'd walk away from wrestling, at least as far as being an active competitor, the day he could no longer be Ric Flair. And he's talking about a headliner. As mentioned 2 weeks back, if he were to make a comeback after a year of inactivity, at best, he'd be in the Randy Savage position. And he appears to strongly not want to be considered as a guy who once was great while still active. In wrestling, all decisions are subject to change. And the odds are great that WCW will fall into a bind next year, bingo, and want to bring him back. And an awful lot of people are believing by that time Flair will change his mind and come back. The other side of the coin is there are those in the company saying Flair is taking this retirement angle as a shoot when it was only designed to keep him out of action for 6 to 8 months. Arn, I don't know, again, if you remember any of this going on, but to your point earlier, Flair obviously said he was going to do what he was supposed to do with the company. It doesn't sound like, do you think he was necessarily worried about his, where he was as far as his standing with the company?
I can assure you he did not believe in the conversation that he had. It was not told to him, that's it, you're done. Those words were never spoken. It's probably, you know, we'll see how this does. It's a serious deal. Let the audience get behind you. We'll just play it and see it as we go.
As you might imagine, there's some questions, some listener questions that we have. We'll start with Nick Lenz. He said, Arn, did Rick take 3 months off so he could have a vacation away from the business, heal up injuries? We know he returned in the spring of 95, but Eric Bischoff has indicated on his show 83 Weeks that the plan was for Flair to go off away for a year, not just a few months. So as I said earlier, he takes off 3 months. Was he, like you said, getting on the boat, relaxing, just heal up some injuries? Yeah.
And they called him to come back. He didn't worry them to death to the bring him back. They started figuring out he's, even though he lost the match, he's still worth a lot more on the card than 90% of the guys that you had under contract.
I'm going to go with the wrestling historian's question. And he asks, Arn, you've been there with Ric Flair for almost his whole career. In your opinion, when was the best time for him to retire?
Oh God, I can't make that call because that's a decision that we all have to make
for yourselves, right?
Yeah. What's going on in our real life, or what you don't see, what are the issues that, you know, whether it's injuries or whatever, or burnout or any number of things that you could throw out there. You just had enough, whatever. I can't make that decision. Only he can make that decision. I just think that, you know, once for me, once I knew that I was permanently injured, not just hurt for a period of time, then that was it. When a doctor said you want to walk or you want to be in a wheelchair, you want to sit, that's your options. You're through wrestling. So that made it pretty easy for me.
Crystal clear.
And I was 37 years old, so.
That's hard to believe.
Well, I had a 15-year career.
And it's crazy when you see these guys now that are still looking like, you know, talk about AJ and Randy Orton, 45, 46 years, and they're prime, still look like prime career. I know they've had a lot of days behind them, but it's just a different, you were retired at 37. That blows my mind.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, wasn't because I wanted to, it's because I had to.
I think what blows my mind is more of the impact that you've had on this business, Arn, having retired at 37. There's not many, if any, that can say they retired at 37 and still carry on the legacy and impact that you, my friend, have.
Well, I was lucky. I had a backup. I had a second job. You know, I'd already been doing the agent / producer / helping book all those things. And had I not had that ability, you know, I could have been one of those casualties that had a good career. But 10 years later, you see the guy and he's destitute.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? You know, I still had something to offer the business. And I had
longevity, baby.
Had somebody that believed in me and had a special relationship with the talent in the business. I feel like I still do today. That saved me. It's not the case for everybody.
Well said. Brian Haremza has a question. He said, at this time, Hulk is only working with Ric Flair. I mean, he's been there for a few months. It's Hogan Flair. Do you think Hulk would have benefited from working with other people at this time? Or was Hulk too reliant on working with only people he knew and was comfortable with?
He made his call on who he wanted to work with. And, you know, he knew was going to take care of him. It'd been nice to build to that match with Hogan and Flair a year and a half down the road from when he came in. He could have worked with everybody else sparingly. You wouldn't have had Hulk on every TV, obviously, on every show, obviously. But, you know, let him beat some other guys. There had to be some other options.
For sure. And it's an opportunity to give some other guys some shine and you know, start to elevate some other guys in the business.
You know, you can get beat by Hulk Hogan with him dropping that leg on you right in the middle, 1, 2, 3, and you were not hurt by it. You were better the next day for having been in a match against Hulk Hogan. Trust me, I know. I felt it. Been there.
Speaking of working with people that he knew, so immediately following this match, Arn, the masked man returns to the ring. He tries to attack Hulk. Hulk gets the better of him, and he unmasks him, and here's the big reveal. It's Brother Brutai, Brutus Beefcake, who immediately Heenan says that Brutai had butchered a friendship, which, of course, was the foreshadowing of the new moniker Brutai would take on, that being the Butcher. He is now the Butcher. And alongside this newly minted Butcher, Kevin Sullivan, our dear close personal friend, and John Tenta, who I want to talk to you about here, the former Earthquake debuting here as Avalanche. They attack Hogan to end the show. Tenta hits Hogan with the body slam, the squash finish. Sting rushes into the ring and saved Hogan from the Butcher, Sullivan, and Avalanche. The three heels are christened the Faces of Fear, and are a forerunner to the Dungeon of Doom that we will see created at the end of this year. But we've discussed how Hogan brought in the people that he trusted and wanted to work with. And Tenta, he fits this description, dude. As Earthquake, Tenta and Hulk worked the main event program in the WWF in 1990. That culminated in the SummerSlam match. Hogan defeats Tenta by countout. And now here's Hogan. He brings in another friend to work with him. Arn, let's talk a little bit about John Tenta. Did you get to watch the most recent Dark Side of the Ring about the story of John Tenta?
I did. I'm not sure I fully knew his history when he was working for us. I know he was a big son of a gun, huge, and moved good for a guy his size. I mean, he was super huge. And, you know, those sumo wrestlers, man, that's tough stuff too. Make no mistake, you know, that I had Haku tell me one time, I just think I asked him something about Tenta. Where's he been? What's his background? You know, whatever. He said, you know, he's a sumo and very good. I think that's what he said. Haku didn't put a lot of people over. He said, and very good. Hogan was, in those days, was the Giant Killer. All the monsters in the business came in, they got ready, they beat all the baby faces, and then Hogan would beat them. And Tenta was one of those guys.
Did you see on the episode where Haku is talking about it, and they show him when fell through the wall?
Oh, he lost it.
And he was, how come I can't remember the Fred Ottman?
Tugboat.
Fred Ottman falls through the wall. And Haku, that was hilarious, dude.
I could not stop laughing.
So good.
The first time, and he said, that's the first time I've seen
the
that
gimmick,
shit.
The gimmick came off.
First time I've seen that shit. I mean, he was barely
that
laughing.
Was so good. Guys, if you haven't watched it, you have to watch that episode just for that part.
Shock master.
Yes. They do such a nice job with it. And also we highly recommend too, like you said, Arn, it was the behind the scenes stuff that he did in Japan that I've never seen that footage before. Which is so cool to be able to get that type of history on him as a man, a husband, also what he was doing there, overseas in Japan. He was a tough son of a bitch and a good guy from all accounts, you know?
Yeah. And had a nice family.
Yes. Yeah.
Getting to know them and getting to hear the story from
his kid's perspective and wife.
Yeah. It was really heart wrenching, you know?
Yeah. Brad Stanton has a question. He asked if we saw the Dark Side of the Ring. You have. What was better, the Faces of Fear? Okay, Butcher, Kevin Sullivan, and Tenta, or the Oddities? So you, I'm sure, saw when he went to the, he goes to WWE, they throw a mask on him and that deal.
That sucked.
Ugh, Oddities are the worst, Brad.
It was terrible. They were just the biggest, freakiest looking people you can find. It had nothing to do with wrestling ability or anything to do with wrestling.
It was a clown show, Howard Stern style clown show at that point. You know what I was thinking about is you were making such a good point on this show when we were talking about someone had brought up demolition and, you know, having Barry Darso back in the fold, and should they got Bill Eady and changed their name and been something. And to your point, you said, Paul, what kind of steam would it would just have felt like a ripoff. And that here we go too. That's exactly what they talked about watching the 10th special, when you had Earthquake and WWF that was so over. And then you try to play off that gimmick with Avalanche, and it just doesn't work, to your point.
Well, and make him a shark.
Yeah, then it was a shark. I mean,
you know, yeah. Everything because of Vince's success with making and developing characters. I think, you know, other bookers and other companies thought you could take that format and take a guy and just rehash it. But when they recognize you as someone else, and now you come in and you're less than and trying to do another character, it's not like if they could come in from WWF and be who they are with WCW, you're ahead of the game. But you couldn't do that because he owned the character. He owned the trademark.
That's right.
That's the one thing that I could say that Tully and I were very lucky with. We went up there. Okay, they changed our name from the Horsemen to the Brainbusters. But we had a manager that had the most heat in the company. They didn't dress us up. They let us wear our gear like we had it, and that they just called us something different. And we came to the ring, which a lot of people don't even realize. We never had ring music.
No music. Yep. And you kept your traditional jackets. And here's the deal. You were still Arn Anderson and Tully Blanchard, whatever company you went to.
Exactly. And when I came back to, you know, WCW, I was still who I was. Same gear, same look, the whole thing. So you didn't insult any fans. That's not a shark. That's Earthquake. Yeah. And the shark was less than, trust me.
Trying to kind of find from that former glory and get a rub off of that former glory. And it just, you needed something fresh with his character, as you would anybody else that they're trying to do a rehash deal with. But what do you think overall now, as this episode drops, the Buff Bagwell Dark Side of the Ring will have come out. You and I have not seen that yet. It's funny to ask you this. Are you a fan of the series? You watch the series. You enjoy it. Do you like how they portray and tell these stories of the different wrestlers and storylines and things that have happened in wrestling over the years?
Well, I love the stuff that they dig out from underneath, you know, the rug that I'd never heard about. I look at Aaron watching this sometimes, or Brock, I go, that's the first I've ever heard of that. Mm. And there's such a wealth of things that happen that I guess you're wrapped up in your own world and your own match and your own daily goings on. You don't really pay attention like you should, but some of this stuff was just like, wow, I didn't know that.
Which I think is cool that as a wrestler, you know, we feel like, oh, they were a part of the business. They know all this, but no, you're sitting there, you're learning things for the first time as just like we are as fans.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Well, hey, listen, this is going to wrap up our coverage at October 1994. We move into November, and dude, this is a big month. There's consequences for the company as WCW continues to change and evolve. You join the booking committee because you undergo a knee injury, and it's going to keep you out of action. Macho Man comes to WCW. We have a Clash of the Champions. And that show's main evented by the Faces of Fear, that new group taking on Hogan, Sting, and Dave Sullivan. So that's going to be a fun show. I can't wait to talk about you joining the booking committee, my friend.
Don't get yourself all revved up and think it was more than what it really was.
Don't act like you had the pencil and you were making the call on all the main event matches.
Sounds good, guys.
Sounds good. He nodded his head.
Sounds good. Yeah. Let's do that. We'll do that.
Whatever you say, I sign off on it.
If I truly had any stroke, any clout, I would have booked myself to beat everybody.
Yeah. Now at this point, you had an injury, but we'll talk about that injury. But yeah, now you were on the booking committee. Arn, who knows? This is when you were maybe a little wet behind the ears and learning the ropes that would make you successful for the next one once you retired at 37. So this is good exposure for you.
What, being in the booking committee?
Yeah.
It truly was a round table with a hierarchy. I was just an idea guy.
Okay.
If I had a particular idea that would enhance whatever angle they were pitching and make it better, that's what I did.
And we are going to hear all about it next week's show. It's November 1994. Arn, thank you so much for doing this with me. That's going to conclude our episode this week. On behalf of AA, Arn Anderson, this is Paul Bromwell, and we will see you right back here next week on another episode of Arn.
I just read a report that America is now in more credit card debt than ever before, more than $1.1 trillion. You know, my grandfather used to say, there's no stress like money stress, son. Well, are you feeling that right now? Let me help. You've got a friend in the mortgage business and me, and I've helped families just like yours save hundreds of dollars a month. Seriously, we've helped listeners to this podcast save up to $800 a month. At SaveWithConrad.com, we routinely help our podcast listeners consolidate all of their high interest rate credit cards into just one much lower monthly payment. Would you like to lower your monthly payments? Wouldn't it be nice to skip your next two house payments? Are you finally ready for some breathing room and peace of mind? Start saving money today with your friend in the mortgage business, me, at SaveWithConrad.com. You don't need perfect credit. You don't need money out of your pocket. And if we can't help you save some cash, we won't waste your time. You see, at SaveWithConrad.com, we don't say no. We say not yet, but here's how. We want to be your mortgage advisor for life. So find out how easy it is to finally get rid of your credit card debt once and for all, get a much lower monthly payment, and even skip your next two house payments. Let's find out how much money you can save for free at SaveWithConrad.com. NMLS number 32416, Equal Housing Lender, SaveWithConrad.com.
John brings his skewed sense of humor. Jeff brings tips to cut strokes off your next round. Together, it's those weekend golf guys.
They'll pay a lot of money to PXG and Titleist and Callaway and on and on and on, right? How many yards do you think you're going to pick up with that extra driver? I think I can get an extra 5 to 10. What if I give you 15 to 20? You pay me more.
Jeff Smith right? Teaches on the sliding scale.
Those Weekend Golf Guys, the podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.